Welcome to today's edition of the Rush 24/7 podcast.
Yes, and greetings to you, music lovers, thrill seekers, conversationalists all across the fruited plain, the award-winning, thrill-packed, ever-exciting, increasingly popular, growing by leaps and bounds, and now forecast by the drive-by media. This program forecast by the drive-by media to get even bigger and more important with an Obama victory. They never learn. They've got their templates and their narratives, and they cannot be made to budge off of them. Here's the phone number if you want to be on the program today, 800-282-2882, and the email address, lrushball@eibnet.com. Warning, could possibly end up being a giddy program today. Back from Washington, D.C. at 4:30 this morning. Finally got into bed at 5 o'clock. Went in for the Redskins Steelers last night. And I want to thank the Redskins coach, Jim Zorn, and his wife, Joy. We were guests of theirs last night. Got to go down the field and chew the fat with Coach Zorn and watch the game from his box with his wife and some house guests that he had in town. It was just a great night, but we had to wait to leave last night. We waited in the suite for him to come up after his press conference after the game. But apparently it takes ages. It takes years to clear the parking lots at FedEx Field. 92,000 people in there. So we waited for about an hour and 45 minutes after the game and then headed to Baltimore, Washington International, which is the closest airport to the Washington Redskins Stadium in Landover, Maryland. And so we got home and rolled into bed at 5 o'clock, and here we are. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you what to look for. I'll tell you what I'm looking for today. First place, I'm getting all kinds of reports from all over the country about turnout. And in some places, it's low. For example, the Upper West Side of Manhattan, no lines whatsoever, which is unusual. My spy for the Upper West Side of Manhattan, I mean, that's Moscow, folks, and Moscow on the Hudson. The Upper West Side of Manhattan, and you would figure there would be lines out the wazoo up there to vote for Obama, but my spy said there were long lines in 2004, there weren't any lines today. I'm not making anything of this, by the way. You can't, because I've got another spy out in Kansas who just went to vote and had to come home because the lines are too long in Kansas. And he said, these are not Obama voters in Kansas. He said, oh, yeah, they elected Sebelius. Don't tell me they're not Obama voters. And then I got another spy in southern Connecticut. No lines in southern Connecticut, and there usually are huge lines. But in Queens, the lines are incredibly long. Here in Palm Beach, there were 242 people waiting at 7 o'clock this morning, which that's long. I think the problem is they got another new ballot here in Florida. And even the rich can't figure it out, apparently. It takes Obama. Do you see, Obama took 15 minutes to vote. I'm sure he was looking for the box marked present, you know, and couldn't find it. His inclination is to vote present. 15 minutes to vote. I mean, he's showboating out there. And by the way, he showed up within minutes of Bill Ayers and the Reverend Jeremiah Wright. They all vote in the same place. Oh, yeah, Ayers. He's just a guy I knew lives in the neighborhood. All right. Here's what I'm looking for, folks, based on past experience. We all know, and I'm urging you again today, to ignore what you see if you watch television. Just ignore it. They are in the tank. The election is over. The latest and final battleground poll came out just this morning, and it has Obama plus 1.9. Now, the IBD tip poll that came out late yesterday has Obama up 7 or 8. But I got a little graphic here, and this, it's amazing. The battleground poll, which is the bipartisan poll, in four recent elections, nailed it. And they've got Obama up plus 1.9. Now, these are not state-by-state breakouts. But I think, you know, in normal days, the first wave of exit polling hits about 2 o'clock, and then there's another wave at 5. Now, I'm not sure this year if there's going to be a first wave of exit polling at 2 o'clock. But regardless, whatever you hear from anybody about the first wave or the second wave of exit polls, ignore it. Particularly those of you in the central, mountain, and western time zones, pay no attention to it. We know from past experience it is Democrats, and this year too. People have already been polled. Are you going to participate in exit polls? And then the Democrats, by a 20% margin over Republicans, say, yeah. We've got a lot of people, the Pumas. These are the women that are angry. The Puma stands for Party Unity My Butt. And these are the women that are mad that Hillary got screwed by Barry and the gang and the Democrat Party. And they're out there, and they're urging people to lie to the exit pollsters and say they voted for Obama. Now, this is problematic because there are a lot of groups. So we ought to go out and just lie to the pollsters. Operation Chaos, rev it up, Rush. Just tell everybody to lie to the pollster and say you voted Obama. And the reason they want this to happen is because they want the drive-bys to get their exit polls and think that Obama is running away with this worldwide landslide, only to find out later it isn't true. But the problem with doing this is that they're going to report this. And they're going to report it. And remember in 2004, the first wave came at 2 o'clock. And I'm sitting here, and of course, as a powerful, influential member of the media, I receive exit polling data, but I do not subscribe. I have inside sources. I saw this stuff, and I see Kerry winning here, Kerry winning there, Florida, Ohio, it was over. And I, before I went up there, I said at 3 o'clock, I said, this doesn't make sense. Margins here were just over the top. And we later found out that it was a bunch of Democrat female operatives who had come out of polling places and were telling the exit pollsters. And this created this massive creation or perception of a landslide for the haughty John Kerry, who served in Vietnam. But I guess it did not suppress voter turnout in 2004. But I worry about that when people do this kind of thing. Now, the Democrats are trying to steal the election in Virginia and Pennsylvania as we speak. The McCain campaign has filed suit in Virginia. Now, this is a big snafu, and it's about military ballots. Military ballots are not being allowed because they came in too late. They arrived after the date, so McCain is suing for a 10-day extension. The problem here, though, is the Pentagon sent them out late. And so who's in the Pentagon? We know that the Pentagon's populated, as is the CIA and the State Department, with a bunch of career liberals put in there by Jimmy Carter and Bill Clinton and so forth. And George W. Bush did not clean them out of there. And so it is a mess in Pennsylvania. And this is, in my opinion, Pennsylvania is a state to keep a sharp eye on. I fully expect this afternoon, sometime tonight, that the drive-bys are going to call Pennsylvania erroneously for Obama. They already think Pennsylvania's in the bag, but they're cheating out the wazoo. Fast Eddie Rendell has been worried about this for the longest time. The polling numbers in Pennsylvania for Obama have never been through the roof. He lost Pennsylvania by 10 points to Hillary in the primaries. The same people that voted against him are going to vote against him again because they're the same people, the bitter clingers, the people that he insulted. The stuff I'm reading out of Philadelphia right now is reminiscent of what we saw in Iraq during their first free elections. It's sort of like voting in a war zone out there. I think they ought to give people a little purple ink and put it on their fingertips to show they successfully voted. Voting in Philadelphia could end up being a badge of honor today. But we cannot allow intimidation and bullying to succeed, or it's going to happen and happen again. You know, if you want to go in there, go out and find an Obama button and go in there and vote McCain Palin. I mean, that's the safest way to get in and out of a polling place in Philadelphia today. Find an Obama button and go in there. And, of course, don't take a shower. Have your hair a little bit unkempt. You know, look like your average miserable liberal Democrat. Show up there with your Obama button and head in there and vote for McCain Palin. Or if you don't want to go to that trouble, go out to the nearest army surplus, get a flak jacket, and run in there and do that. Now, the effort to steal Pennsylvania, it's hard to keep up with. Here are some problems being reported already. Precinct 5, Urban Defense League, 725 North 6th Street, multiple reports. Holy Family University, Frankfurt and Grant Avenue. Precinct 46 at 47th and Locust. 12th and Cambria. Cayuga School, Precinct 46 on Pine Street, multiple reports of problems voting there. Precinct 61, 201 East Olney Avenue, Ward 60, Division 4. I mean, this is eight specific reports. Pennsylvania turning into one of the major voting problem hotspots in the election, according to something called a Committee for 70. And it's happening in Pennsylvania because this is a key state. If McCain wins, Ohio and Pennsylvania, and they're close in makeup. Some people arguing today that Pennsylvania has essentially become a red state, even though there are a million more Democrats registered there. It really is going to be a fascinating state to watch, as will Virginia be a fascinating race to watch. The exit polls are going to come out, and they're going to be heavily favored toward Obama. The media wants it to be that way. The reporting of the early wave of exit polls will be intended to affect you, as all reporting of polls has been intended to affect you throughout the election, and that is to dispirit you and to depress you. And to get you just thinking it's over and you're not even going to vote, particularly those of you in the central mountain Pacific time zones as the day wears on. Chuck Schumer, we have the audio of this coming up, was on Fox News this morning, and he defended the Democrat goal of implementing the fairness doctrine. He said that the government controls the showing of pornography, so they should have the right to control talk radio. I tell you, the arrogance and the condescension these people are taking into the election today is breathtaking to behold. Here is the Los Angeles Times today. America is jittery as election's outcome draws near. I read this story. I can summarize this for you. Obama supporters are on edge, and they're about to lose it. Obama supporters are irritable. Obama supporters are bursting out in tears in various parts of the country. In Denver, I've been freaking out all day. I keep having these horrible flashbacks to 4 years ago when Bush was reelected. It was the most devastating day of my life, said somebody named Phil Bush, who worked for Kerry in 2004. Well, they quote these people all over the place. Zachary Paul Sire, freelance writer, Huntington Beach, dubbed this conviction election obsessive compulsive disorder on his blog. He's a 31-year-old Obama supporter, estimated he has spent at least 10 hours a day monitoring blogs, TV, and polls. I genuinely feel nervous, Sire said. I'm not even able to sleep. I'm not eating as much or eating at all in strange hours of the day. It's being irritable toward the people I live with. They're just on edge. These Obama supporters are just, they're nervous as they can be. Some of them are just breaking out in tears. Why would this be the case if indeed, ladies and gentlemen, this is such a massive landslide? All right, now let me take a brief timeout. And we'll do that. We'll come back, get some of your phone calls, start with the audio soundbite roster today. 800-282-2882 is the number, and we'll be right back. Stay with us. The networks are going to call the election before some of you have voted. That's in the template. They cannot wait. If they think they've got Obama up to 270 electoral votes, whenever that happens, they are going to project him the winner. And it is thought by some that they may have to redo this, that they may make some mistakes because it goes so early. Now, people keep asking me, Rush, what's your gut telling you today? Here's what my gut's telling me today. And it actually has been telling me this for a few more days than just a day. Something finally struck me. I've been talking to those of you who have called this program for all these many months of this election, and when I'm out and about circulating in public, the same thing. We know that there are millions of Americans who want no part of an Obama administration and presidency. We know that there are millions of Americans who are scared. We know that there are millions of Americans who are genuinely in fear over what will happen to their country should Obama win and the Democrats have 60 seats in the Senate. And yet, Not one media report on this aspect of the American electorate. Not one. To the extent that we have had media reports that people are afraid, it's like that garbage I just read to you from the Los Angeles Times. Obama supporters, they're the ones who are afraid because the Republicans will steal the election again. When the theft is taking place before our eyes right now in Virginia and in Pennsylvania, particularly Philadelphia, and probably a lot of other places as well. We know Acorn's been out there. We know that Acorn's infested Ohio. And who knows how many other states. So there is a large number, millions and millions and millions of Americans who are not going to vote Obama, who have no desire to vote Obama, who are going to show up today and vote either for McCain or against Obama, and the media is not even aware of them. And I firmly believe that I think the media's template and their vision is so narrow, they go out and they see these McCain-Palin rallies. And they see all these people show up, and they chalk it up to celebrity. They chalk it up to anything but genuine affection, either for McCain or Palin or their policies or what have you. We also have the phenomenon that these kinds of people are not understood by the media in the first place. And that's why reporters have been making up stories such as people at a McCain-Palin rally saying, kill him, about Obama, when it was the reporter who probably said it because the reporter's the only one who heard it. And that was in I think that rally was in Pennsylvania where that happened. So my point is the media is they know we're out there. Don't misunderstand. This is sort of a fine line, but they have, just like we joke, they need visas to go to the Midwest like it's a foreign country to cover people in flyover country. They are so obsessed and so focused on the historic nature of putting Obama over the top that they are not aware. This is, I think, the possibility for these people to be stunned by what they see when the actual votes are counted today is pretty high. I think the odds are high, and I think that it is possibly going to be profound, because we know, and you know as well how angry you are, and some of you how frightened you are. You also know that the media has not talked to you about it. People that are fearful of an Obama presidency, other than Joe the Plumber, and look what they did to him. Joe the Plumber goes out and says what he says about an Obama presidency, and the media aids and abets state officials in Ohio investigating him with government computers trying to shut him down. I guarantee you there are millions of people in this country who see that Barack Obama has an aunt living in a slum and hear him talk about he's his brother's and sister's keeper and he wants to equalize everybody in society, and they look at his family, this does not compute. Same thing with the brother living in the hut, sweet hut, over in Kenya. So I think, you know, when we start talking battleground states here, just a few hundred thousand votes showing up or switching to McCain would do the trick here. And I'm not talking about 100,000 votes in every state. I mean, in the aggregate, just 100,000 votes could tip some of these battleground states and shock the world. And that's why you people must vote. Despite what you hear in the media today, and despite all of the tone of this coverage, when the exit polls first start being dumped and reported, and when the first states start being called, if it's before polls have closed where you live, ignore it. James Pethakoukas, or Pethakakis, I'm not sure how you pronounce his name, is at U.S. News and World Report. For what it's worth, why John McCain might just pull it out today. The new battleground poll has him down by 1.9 points, as I said. Internal McCain polls show him gaining fast or leading in key states, and that's been the case for the past couple of days. Stock market's up today. Everybody's trying to figure that out, and I have no way of explaining it. I've had people say, well, the market's worried about Obama winning, and the market's going up. What do they know that we don't know? I don't know what they know. I don't know what they're reacting to. They could just be reacting that this is about over, because there are a lot of people that just want this to be over. And Mr. Pythagoras said, well, also, I'm going to throw in there number four, Karl Rove picked Obama, and that's a good sign that McCain might win. I don't know about that, but those are the four reasons that he include. All right, brief timeout again. We'll be back. Phone calls, sound bites coming up. Let me give you another state that's going to be close. Colorado is going to be close. The early voting polling numbers are very, very close. Ignore the polls out of Colorado today if you live there. Colorado also very close. And this was targeted way, way back this spring as a battleground state, a new battleground state to add to the list. Tim Russert is the one who actually focused on Colorado. And as such, and by the way, there's a mining industry in Colorado. Obama wants to bankrupt. And there are a lot of people now focusing on Colorado, but and the polls there, just ignore them. This is the problem. We have a genuine crisis, a constitutional crisis in this country, because there's one business that is empowered with a constitutional role. It's the media, and they have abrogated it. We don't know what to believe from these people anymore. We just don't know what to believe. Whether it's global warming, whether it's politics, whether it's so, and the way they report on cultural things, the best thing to do is ignore them. Because they are advocates now. They are shills. They are hacks. And they get away with too many people's minds now operating as though they are disinterested and objective, and it's not the case. Now, we are working on a piece of sound that I just was advised exists. I just sent it up to Cookie. It's from Jim Moran, congressman from Virginia. And he says something on this soundbite that is really the crux, arguably the crux of this election. Jim Moran says, we've been guided by a Republican administration who believes in this simplistic notion that people who have wealth are entitled to keep it. That's the crux of this election. The Democrats think that it's a silly notion, a simplistic notion, that people who have wealth are entitled to keep it. Now, in the last 7 years in this country, ladies and gentlemen, we have had the highest corporate profit ever in American histoire. Highest corporate profit. We've had the highest productivity. We've also had the highest corporate taxes. We've had the highest productivity as well. The American worker has produced more per person at any time in these last 7 years. But you know what hasn't been shared? And that's the problem, because we've been guided by a Republican administration who believes in this simplistic notion that people who have wealth are entitled to keep it, and they have an antipathy towards the means of redistributing wealth. What do you mean it hasn't been shared? That's what Moran says. What do you mean we haven't shared it? All this wealth has been created, hasn't been. What the hell are these confiscatory tax rates people are paying? This is the crux of this election. This simplistic notion that Republicans have, that if you have wealth, you're entitled to keep it. Stop. That's going to spread the wealth around. This is Obama. And we have sound bites coming up of him talking about that in greater detail on MTV. Let's go to the audio sound bites. We'll start out just at the top of the list. This is this morning on Squawk Box on CNN. CNBC. Joe Kernan, Carl Quintanilla, and Becky Quick discussing a possible Obama wins. And then Joe Kernan, one of the hosts, says, well, who wins if Obama wins?
Limbaugh has done better when there are Democrats
right.
around.
So
right?
Limbaugh, right. He just signed a new deal. What happens to the left? What happens? Is Air America still on?
This is just laughable. I mean, people still ask me this in person. I got last night at the football game, you're secretly hoping it would be good for you if Obama wins. I said, no, it won't be. No, my job is to acquire the largest audience I can and hold it for as long as I can, regardless who's in office. There's always going to be liberals running around trying to destroy the country. But these people think that I only succeeded because of the election of Bill Clinton. I'm not even going to bother refuting it anymore. You've heard it over and over again. It's just BS. But this is an example of their template. And how once they get something, either in the Nexus database or in their narrative or template, you can't get it out. No matter how many times you tell them personally, the NFL Network. NFL Total Access correspondent Scott Hansen reported on the celebrities at last night's game.
We have news about all the celebrities in town for this game. We've seen Rush Limbaugh so far. The commissioner, Roger Goodell, is here as well, and the fans starting to file in, which should be a great atmosphere. Perfect, crisp fall night for football here just outside of the nation's capital.
I didn't even see these guys in their camera crew. I mean, I saw all kinds of media people there as well. And now I'm a celebrity. I'm not a celebrity. I'm a powerful, influential member of the media. You don't see me in People magazine. Don't give me that snurtly. I'm not a celebrity. I'm not a celebutard. Listen, you don't see me in People magazine or U.S. Weekly or OK magazine or whatever it is. What? What were you saying? Day before the election, I guess. Anyway, Whoopi Goldberg on The View. This was this morning. What? This is what happens if Obama wins.
If Obama wins, late night talk show hosts will be short on material and conversation. I'm sorry, conservatives like Rush Limbaugh will have a field day. Now, what are we going
to
do?
Yeah, we can always go back to sex.
That was Barbara Walters. We can always go back to sex. She's probably right, ladies and gentlemen, about the late night comics. They will not make fun of Obama. They will not. They will not have the guts to make fun of Obama. Rush Limbaugh have a field. Yeah, I'm going to have a field day watching this guy destroy the United States of America. I resent this. I resent the notion I'm going to have a field day, that all this is about ratings and all of this is about, yeah, I want Obama to win. Secretly, I want Obama to win. Limbaugh wants Obama to win. Hey, numbers are going to skyrocket. This is absurd. I'll tell you, those 4 years of Clinton, some of them, those 8 years, I was miserable. What are they saying? I mean, I listened to it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All right, right. Oh, I see what they're saying. I'm the opposition, and the opposition's going to get even stronger. They're saying that I'm the leader of the opposition, and as the leader of the opposition, I'm going to get stronger because I'll be the opposition voice. I get it. Barbara Walters on The View then said this.
If Obama wins, the conservatives, like Rush Limbaugh and Fox, they've got a head start because they've got someone they can pounce on every day. It's harder. You know, it's right. Good if you're the opposition. If you're opposite the person who wins, you got material. If you're for the person right. who wins, it's much tougher. And all these talking heads we've been hearing about for 2.5 years, where are they going to go?
They'll have
to get real jobs.
They're worried about some of these lib talkers in these various places. My philosophy. Here's the way to look at this. If Obama wins, Whoopi Goldberg's still insane. If Obama wins, Joy Behar is still unhinged and demented. They all are. I mean, if Obama wins, the liberals are still going to be liberals. And look at when they win elections, they're dangerous. They're always funny, but they're dangerous when they win elections. Chuck Schumer, you have to hear this. Schumer was on Fox. Bill Hemmer spoke to him today. He said, are you a supporter of telling radio stations in America what content they should have on their radio station?
Well, I think we should all try to be fair and balanced, don't you?
Well, this is commercial enterprise, not run by the government. It's not public money. And I do believe in fair and balance.
Yeah, good. Well, you know, there are the radio air. It's not that this is like printing a broadside. You would never say anyone who wanted to hire a printing press or go on a computer has to have any view. Do you think we should allow people to put pornography on the air? Absolutely not, particularly on television and radio.
But many fear will be legislated from the Hill.
Okay.
And they strongly disagree with that. Give the
very
last word.
The very same people who don't want the fairness doctrine want the FCC to limit pornography on the air. I am for that. I think pornography should be limited. But you can't say government hands off in one area to a commercial enterprise, but you're allowed to intervene in another. That's not consistent.
So look what we've learned just today. Jim Moran, quote, we have been guided by a Republican administration that believes in this simplistic notion that people who have wealth are entitled to keep it. Chuck Schumer on Fox this morning with Bill Hemmer. talk radio is pornography, and we limit pornography. The government can stop it. They're going to do everything they can. Now, I talked to a lot of people about fairness doctrine. Some people think they're not going to go that route. They'll go other routes. Some of them are going to go this route. Some of them are going to go the fair. Look, the Democrats are going to be all over the ballpark. They're not going to unify about one particular way. Schumer's going to be out there for the fairness doctrine. Pelosi will be out there for the fairness doctrine. Other Democrats say, no, we can't go. We can't do it that way. We got to go a different way. Local content rule, any kind, new laws, new regulations that will govern the way radio must police itself at a local level, blah, blah. But there will be people pushing the fairness doctrine. Now, this is why, look at the election's still got a lot of hours to go, and I know there are a lot of you who haven't voted, and that with this fairness doctrine and some of these other things is why there are some senators in trouble out there. And to stop this fairness doctrine dead in its tracks, there's 6 to 8 close Senate races that Republicans need to win. Elizabeth Dole in North Carolina, Saxby Chambliss in Georgia, Gordon Smith in Oregon is in trouble. John Sununu in New Hampshire. I saw Steve Largent last night. Largent was at the football game as well, and he asked me how Sununu was doing. What's the latest I had heard? And I said, it's pretty close. He said, we can't lose Sununu. Largent loves Sununu. We just can't lose Sununu. Now, I know that a lot of people, he's not conservative enough, but he's more conservative than his state is. But at this point in time, you need people that are going to be inclined to vote Republican and stop the Democrats having a 60-seat majority. So Sununu in New Hampshire, Norm Coleman in Minnesota. I don't know where that race is. Depending on the poll you look at, it's seesawing back and forth. Mitch McConnell in Kentucky. This would be a tragedy if Mitch McConnell, who is the Senate minority leader, the Republican leader, goes down to defeat. There are others in the mix as well. And finally, one other thing. I got a bunch of emails. Rush, you never updated us. Did you actually buy that woman from Texas a car? Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I can announce it. Name is Belinda from Kerrville, Texas, and she and her husband, the first thing they said was, well, so I only had one restriction. I had to buy a GM car. I had to pick a GM car out and I would pay for it. You remember her. She called up last week and said, hi, Belinda from Kerrville, Texas. Hi. Just distraught, just in the last legs, been working all night. At 2 in the afternoon, she thought it was still early in the morning. She and her husband striving against the odds to save their little small business. So just said, look, if you go out and get some Zicam, I'll buy you a car. I was trying to get her to use Zicam. I thought she had a cold. So they finally went out and picked one. She said, no, I'll pick one that I would normally buy. I said, no, pick what you want. Just as long as it's a GM car, pick what you want. So she finally picked a green Chevy Tahoe. She picked a green Chevy Tahoe. And don't think it's a hybrid. I'm not sure if she got the hybrid or not, but I do know that she drove off the lot with it yesterday. She and her husband have a brand new green Chevy. So and the Kerrville, Texas paper had been running stories on this. It's the cutest thing. It's the cutest thing. And so, you know, they were just didn't believe it. They were ecstatic. And the dealership let them have the money before they let them have the car before the wire had arrived. Dealership said, oh, we heard this. We heard about this. And we know if anybody's good for it, old Rush is. in these credit times, they let the woman and her husband drive off with the Chevy Tahoe before my payment had arrived in the wire transfer. Now, that is credit. That, ladies and gentlemen, is credit. And we're not far away from the Chevy Volt that's due to roll out in 2010. It's a glimpse of what's to come. It's going to change the way people drive their cars. It's a reinvention of the automobile. You actually plug it into your normal outlet in the garage and charge it up. It is eagerly anticipated by a lot of people. All right, quick timeout. We'll continue after this. Stay with us. Actually, Snerdly, no. I'm telling you, that's what I tried to say at the beginning of the program. I am not worried about Virginia and Pennsylvania. I am telling you that it's going to be reported the opposite. I'm telling you that all of the stuff about fraud in Philadelphia and Pennsylvania. And by the way, we got some sound bites coming up of the Black Panthers intimidating voters in Philadelphia. We're working on that now. But the reason all this is going on is because it's been a myth that Obama was going to win Pennsylvania. He has never won Pennsylvania. He didn't win it in the primaries. He lost Pennsylvania by 10. And we've been inundated with all this talk about Virginia and then Northern Virginia and all these people are going to vote Obama. But why is he spending so much time there? You know, it's interesting. If you go out, if you look at where the candidates have been and look at the media reporting, for example, Obama went back to Iowa, just as I, L. Rush Bowl, predicted. And you know why they said? Well, he's trying to stretch his lead. Bull. Bull bleep. Stretch his lead, my sizable rear end. Stretch his lead, and then they said it was a pit stop. He went in there Friday, too. It was a pit stop on the way home to go trick-or-treating with the kids. There's a disconnect here that's absolutely absurd. You look at where McCain and Palin, they practically lived in Pennsylvania. Palin did. McCain's been over in Ohio. Why? If there's no hope there. I mean, McCain and Obama, the ones running for president, not Tom Brokaw and Charlie Rose, and not all these other wizards of smart who are telling us why all this is happening. The people who are running for president are the ones that are doing things to try to win. You think McCain and Palin spending all his time in Pennsylvania and Ohio just to lose? They got the news in Michigan, and they pulled out. They didn't go back to Michigan, did they? Didn't spend a lot of time. But they did spend time in Virginia, in Ohio, and Pennsylvania. Why? Something must have told them that there was a good reason to do that. And by the way, for a while, Obama was shadowing them all over the place in these places. So Virginia and Pennsylvania, there have been so many myths about this election and this business, you know, the drive-bys, I tell you, they have their templates and you can't talk them out of it. Here, audio soundbite 31, this is Jim Moran talking to a group of supporters. This, again, ladies and gentlemen, the crux of the election.
We have been guided by a Republican administration who believes in this simplistic notion that people who have wealth are entitled to keep it, and they have an antipathy towards means of redistributing wealth. And they may be able to sustain that for a while, but it doesn't work in the long run.
It doesn't work in the long run. Capitalism doesn't work in the long run. This is a nation founded on the concept that every individual is an individual. Every individual is unique, but has certain inalienable rights. These guys want to tear up the Constitution, rip it to shreds, use it for toilet paper. Simplistic notion that people who have wealth are entitled to keep it. That's your Democrat Party. That's Barack Obama. This is Jim Moran in Virginia, but that's the crux of this election. And Joe the Plumber figured it out very fast. A question for Jim Moran and the rest of you. We all have property rights, the right to own property. Is property wealth? Jim Moran want to take property as well? The Democrats want to take property?